Triple M Speed Breakfast.
Weekdays from 5:30.
Marto and Margo, well, no, it's you guys. Tomorrow, $5,000 guaranteed who's getting the jab. Later on in this podcast, you'll give a clue. Someone will win $5,000 by the weekend.
Cash?
Cash,
is
absolutely.
That a promise?
Or one of those stupid big checks.
What's going to happen is if the first caller doesn't get it, we'll just keep taking callers until someone wins $5,000. 8:30.
Listen, can I tell you a story about cash? My my best mate, sold his Prado the other day. It's been 5 years old. We've had it all over the beaches and stuff, but sold it for $28,000, okay? They're worth plenty. Bloke came and paid him in cash.
Oh, nice.
All right. He heads back into the house, and his 15-year-old son, who's my godson, what's that? And he showed him. He said, what just happened there? He said, a bloke just pulled in. We signed the papers. He drove away with our car, and I've got $28,000 in cash. And his son said, show me that. Never seen $28,000 in cash.
Card only.
All right. So the son said, can I just grab it for a while? And he said, no, don't you go taking photos and putting it on Instagram. Sister comes down. She's 17. She goes, look what he's done.
Did all you right. do a Floyd Mayweather?
He got
laid
wicked
on the bed
sunny.
With his cash.
So he got wicked sunny. It looked like a drug dealer and was flashing the cash, put rings on.
Oh, cash
Jesus.
Money.
The cash.
Ching, ching, bling, bling.
How long until they get a visit from the cops? Well, listen, mate, you're a 15-year-old with 28,000. What happened there?
Floyd Mayweather loves
what was he doing?
Flashing his cash. He's always just got stacks of cash in his photos, on his bed, just laying in it, just all over him. He loves it.
How good's cash?
Well, 5,000 cash, 8:30 tomorrow. There's a clue to help you win it coming up in this here podcast. It's
better give
breakfast.
It a deep clean with COVID conditions. Otherwise, you don't want the person. True. Give them a prize and a bit of COVID.
Anything you missed from today's Big Breakfast is in the Catch Up podcast on the Listener app. Thanks to Chemist Warehouse. Right now, get half price big brand vitamins and cosmetics at Chemist Warehouse. T's and C's apply.
Mate, have you ever heard that saying, my dog's sister's cat's aunt's brother's wife? You know, when someone's telling you a story and there's all these different connections of how that person knows that person or this person's in a relationship with his husband's wife.
And that's when
sister's...
I start to fog out and go, give me the whiteboard.
Well, I was telling you one yesterday because my girlfriend's boyfriend's son's best man came. He's renting her house, essentially, and she didn't know who he was to begin with. She was just looking for someone to rent her place. Yeah. She's moved in with the new boyfriend, wants to keep her house though,
renting it out.
Young bloke, and he goes, actually, you're so-and-so's girlfriend. That's my best mate's dad. And she was like, okay, what a small world.
So Brisbane.
Everybody. Jerry.
What's happened to Jerry Springer?
Where
is he still
Jerry
on?
Jerry Springer?
I think he might have died,
not
actually.
The father.
As he hasn't died,
I think he has.
Oh, God. Check that. Poor Jerry.
And then we were talking about that in here. And then one of our guys that works with us was telling us about his mate. As his boyfriend's friend, there was like a third party that was being introduced and then they had a kid using somebody else's sperm and then he then introduced another party into the relationship.
Then they
split off and then they became two couples and I was like, oh my God, I can't keep up.
Oh,
I was like, this is like a Jerry Springer moment.
Oh, Jesus.
Jerry. And I thought, thank you, Jerry. There's plenty of, situations like that. Like, I know of the fact that there's a swingers club down in Cornubia, right? I won't disclose the location.
Address.
If you know where it is, you know where it is. You know,
really?
You know. But there's some creatures that live in the locale area who like to visit.
Swing.
Swing. And they just... really open about it. They talk about it. They do it with their neighbours. And apparently there's streets in Cornubia. If you move into those streets.
How do you go at school pick up after that? How's your hubby? Yeah, he's all right.
I think they all end up becoming best friends and everybody's really happy about it, you know.
I don't know. You bring a third person into any relationship and there's going to be trouble at some stage, maybe not straight away.
I mean, try going to one of them as your friend at her birthday party and then it reaches a certain time of the night and I'm like, oh, my God, I think I need to leave right now because I know that that's not her husband and they're making out.
Wow. Now, listen.
Wow.
All right.
Okay.
Can I just say, it's not just Cornubia. I've moved in to the northeastern Hamilton. Apparently around there, a lot of the rich people are doing it too.
Why not?
And there's a whole crew and it's known around the local area.
Oh. thank you. Dearie me.
Swinging. Is that what you want to talk about?
Well, not. Well, I don't know. I don't know what I want to talk about. 133 I want to know what your Springer story is. Everyone's got a story of his mate's sister's brother's aunt is sleeping with so-and-so, or he married her, but they're sleeping together and she doesn't know. And
so you can stay anonymous if you want to ring
up. Completely anonymous. But I thought if I've got some stories, you must too.
Bon Jovi, It's My Life at Triple M. It's the Big Breakfast, Marto and Margo. Jerry, alive and well, 77 years old.
Margo, this could go anywhere. Tell everyone what you were looking for.
Well, I was, you know those stories that start with, oh, what about, or do you know that? And it's always someone's connected to someone through somebody else via someone else's cat's aunt skateboard.
And there's
dog.
Usually lovemaking involved and sneaking around.
And some people have open marriages and they're completely okay with it, and there's third parties involved, and they're aware. We're not talking about the extramarital affairs where nobody's aware and it's, you know, all a bit hurtful and painful and emotional.
Can I give you one? There's a Brizzy story. I can't mention any names, but
it's almost open marriages.
Swinging was straight across. So the husband of one relationship with the wife of the other one, and then the wife of that relationship with the husband. So a straight easy. Two on two. Yep. It seems easy until they fell in love.
Oh,
hold on. Woo, woo, woo. But then the husband of one of the couples died of cancer.
Oh, no.
So then that wife who was going out with him wanted to get back on with her husband because she was short of a man then, so she wanted her husband. So
did they let her in?
Oh, geez, it was ugly.
Did they become a very happy
trio? No, it wasn't a
trio.
It wasn't a happy trio, and that's what happens. It's difficult.
We must state that we have changed names for privacy. Yes. Some of these people's names are pseudonyms.
Peter from Strathfield. Oh, Jesus, sorry.
You've blown it.
No, that's not
Alan?
His real name or where he lives, but Peter from Strathfield.
Good
morning.
Pete.
G'day, guys.
Yeah, g'day, Peter. Do you know about, do you have a Springer story?
Yes, I do.
Tell us.
10 years ago, me and my housemate lived together at this place at Boothby Street, Kedron.
And
we got two neighbours. Anyway,
we
were watching the footy downstairs.
Yeah.
And they, we've gone out to go have a slash or something. And they're at the fence with towels on, her and her friend.
Hey.
And they're like, oh, come over for a spa.
Oh,
lovely.
And?
So my mate's gone over. There was about 13 people in there. They all bloody wanted him to get his gear off. He ended up on the trampoline with the wife from next door. Her husband was making out with some other chick in another room, and it all escalated from there.
Hold on. Then, what happened in the second half?
Well, I was out with my wife at the moment and come home. They invited me over, so I went over and watched. It was great.
God. Better than the footy?
Yeah, well, Broncos were losing, so. Yeah.
Oh. Not so Peter. Peter's a winner.
So it was recent then. Okay.
Reese from Caloundra. Good morning.
How you going?
Yeah, good, mate. Reese, what, you got a Springer story in your family, or is it someone you know?
Yeah, so probably 15, 20 years ago, maybe a bit longer. My mum's older sister married my dad's dad.
Wow.
Hold on.
Your mum's older sister married your dad's dad.
Your granddad.
Yeah.
Your
dad's. Yeah, so my granddad got with my mum's sister.
Yeah. Well, there's no blood relation there, so that's kind of right,
just
isn't it? But still, it's weird.
Mm.
Yeah, it was a bit weird for my mum and dad, but.
Well, it would have been weird for your mum.
So hold on. Your mum's sitting there watching her sister with her father-in-law.
Yes. Correct.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that is weird.
Oh, that's
how was Christmas after that?
Yeah, family tension, but.
Okay, have a laugh about it.
Was it just a one-off thing, Reese, or is it something that's occurred again at some stage?
No, that's just a one-off.
Off. Yeah.
We do one more?
Yeah.
Now, we have changed your name, but we're calling you Kim from Ascot. Hi, Kim.
Oh, hi. Hi, crew.
And, Kim, we know you're not from Ascot because we don't have any listeners in Ascot that would ring us.
Stop it.
Kim, what's your story? Have you got a Springer moment?
Yes. Very long time ago, when I was about 16, I went out with this guy that worked in the post office. Mm-hmm. And I went in there to pick up mail, and he asked me out. So anyhow, after a few dates, he said he wanted me to meet his sister.
Mm-hmm.
So I met his sister. I'm half Chinese, and he was Australian.
Okay.
When I met the sister, she was half Chinese. And I went home and told my mother. And I said, oh, I met his sister. And I said, should she look like Dad? And Mum said it couldn't be.
What?
And I said, what?
What?
And then she told me about how Dad had had this affair 12 months after my brother was born. And when Mum gave me the name, I told the boyfriend, and that was that was the sister's mother, first mother.
Oh.
So she ended up being my half sister.
Wow. And so you were dating your half-sister's brother.
I was dating, my boyfriend's adopted sister.
Adopted sister.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Who ended up being my half-sister.
And so was your dad aware of your half-sister, that she was a thing?
He knew that she existed because her birthday was the 17th of October. My brother's birthday was the 17th of November, and they were 1 year apart, and Dad used to always think my brother's birthday was October.
Oh, he got them confused.
Kim.
Wow. Well, just to add to that, my brother's birthday is the 17th of October too. There you go.
We've been
as if we couldn't get any more boring.
We've been told there's a caller we have to take.
Nathan.
We hear you have a story that we had to hear, Nathan. Have you got a springer story for us, do you?
Oh, yeah, I've got an adventure story, yep.
Okay, let's give it to us.
Right, what's happened?
I'm originally from New South Wales, but Newcastle.
Yeah.
And one day, me and a couple of boys, we went out to a nightclub down there, and it come to the end of the night, and I sort of noticed this chick through the whole night, and sort of briefly spoke. Anyway, I ended up picking her up and giving her a lift home. And I said to my mates, I said, oh, can you just drop us off at the soccer field, and I'll walk her from there.
Yeah.
You know. And so we've done that.
Opportunity, Nath.
Yes, mate. Scored a goal.
Yeah.
Scored a goal.
Righto.
Anyway, I was actually I was being a bad boy. I was with a chick at the time. Anyway, Christmas come around and Christmas lunch, went to the in-laws, and I walk in and bang, she's sitting right there.
The sister?
It was her auntie.
It was the auntie.
Oh, Nathan, you bad.
She was a looker. She was a looker. She was a looker.
Yeah, this young auntie. That's all right, Nathan.
So your girlfriend, it was her auntie.
Yeah.
And so what happened?
I just looked at her and I just sort of went, oh, wow. And I went, oh, Merry Christmas, and just kept walking to the lounge room.
And you ignored it and she didn't say anything?
She didn't say a word.
No legsies under the table or anything?
Oh, I wish. She was a looker, eh?
You're still thinking about it
and
now.
So, Nathan, did you end up breaking up with the girlfriend?
Eventually, yeah, I did, yeah. But I don't think she ever found out.
She never found out. And did you go back and hang out with the auntie again?
Oh, I would, but I moved to Queensland. So.
Well played, Nathan. Great story.
Jeez, those borders are getting in the way. Incredible. John from Burpengary, we hear that you have an incredible Springer story that we must hear.
Hey, g'day guys, how you going?
Yeah, g'day John.
Yeah, so a long time ago, I met a fella at the markets and he invited me to a Halloween party. And I was like, oh yeah, no worries. And so I stroll up and he hit me up later in the night to service his missus because he was a bit too old for the job. But the catch was he had to watch. And this lady was probably 35 years younger than him, and she was smoking hot.
So how much older was she than you, John, at the time?
Oh, about 10 years.
Okay, so 10 years older than you, 35 years younger than her partner.
Why did he pick you, John?
Oh, I've no idea.
Righto. So you said yes.
Yeah. But it wasn't just once. It was like it went on for a while. It was incredible.
Wow.
And he watched every time.
Yeah, it was a bit weird.
It is very Springer.
It was a bit weird at first, but, you know, you get over it.
Where was he positioned?
Oh, he just sit on a chair in the bedroom.
Inconspicuously in the corner, watching from afar. Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, mate. Yep.
And, John, how long did this go on for?
Oh, 2 years.
How do you end something
That's
like
incredible.
This?
Incredible.
Oh, it just moved on, mate.
Yeah, righto.
Yep.
Got other things to do. Have you ever told your current partner this, John?
No, mate.
No.
Wow, that's spectacular. Mm. Well done, son. Anyway, Joel, we got another one. Joel from Carino. Yeah. Hi, mate.
How are you?
Yeah, what's your Springer-like story?
Last year we found out that our sister was actually our half-sister.
So how does that work, Joel?
Well, the niece went and had a DNA test through the ancestry just to trace the family tree.
Tree, of course, innocent.
Yeah. And but the thing is that the results came back that Dad wasn't the sister's father or the mother of the niece. It was actually Dad's best friend.
Oh, dear. So your mum had an affair with your dad's best mate and birthed a child.
Well, yeah, but mum and Dad have both passed. They've been gone, you know, 5 to 8 years.
Oh, so they weren't here to be able to talk to them about it.
No, no. But the uncle, well, we called him uncle anyway, but he's always the Dad's best friend.
Dad's best mate. Well, he's here?
Yeah, yeah. And so
what do you have to say for himself?
The parents decided to swap partners one night, and that's when it happened.
Oh, so just a once unlucky.
Yeah. So, lucky. We all had a bit of a chuckle about it, and we always said, "Well, that's why the sister's always been a bit different."
That explains a lot, Joel, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that gives Brisbane.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margot.
Big change in the balance of power in the world has happened from 7 a.m. this morning when the two leaders, Biden and Boris Johnson, got together and somehow ScoMo snuck in there and said, "Hello, here's Australia."
Scotty from marketing, he had this to say.
The first major initiative of AUKUS will be to deliver a nuclear-powered submarine fleet for Australia.
Of course, the new defence alliance that we have orchestrated with Australia, the UK, and the US.
Yep, yes? AUKUS. It's to overcome China's threat in the Indo-Pacific and the Indo-Pacific region. And we've got to realise they're trying to take over all these nations.
It's not about nuclear weapons, though.
It is about nuclear weapons.
Nuclear. It's pronounced
nuclear-powered submarines. A fleet of nuclear-powered submarines.
So what this means, and I've been whinging about this for ages, why we agreed to pay the French that $90 billion for 12 submarines? Mm. It was just for Christopher Pine, his name was, to make him happy down there. And, here you go. You build the subs with the French. $90 billion. So we're obviously pulling out of that deal.
So the French aren't happy.
They're never bloody happy. Remember when the British gave them heaps?
Want to talk to you no more, you empty-headed animal food trough whopper. I fart in your general direction. Your mother was a hamster and your father smelt of elderberry.
So if you've got French friends, expect a really angry phone call. How dare you do this to us?
It shows, though, that all of Scotty from marketing's trips to Hawaii eventually did pay off, and now that he's got this alliance with the US and the UK.
Is that what he was doing out of there?
Forget the French. Let's go after Chinese because we're now best friends with the US and the UK.
They're like, "We're the three best friends that anybody could have." We're the three
this is Boris Johnson, ScoMo, and Joe Biden. Just being the three best friends.
Are they in the car on the way to Vegas in Hangover?
Forever. BFF forever. I mean, who do you want to align yourself with? Is it ScoMo, the 14-year-old boy who's still wearing his Sharks jersey?
Oh.
Is it the unmade bed Boris Johnson who can't manage to find a brush in the morning? Or is it old Sleepy Joe Biden?
What's wrong with Joe Biden?
What's right with him? But you know who I'm aligning with? It's not those three. It's the Chinese. Have you seen how impressive they are?
When they have those marches.
The marching is incredible. There's the uniformity. They've got pins in their little collars so that they don't get their heads down. That's who I mean.
Is that the key to their marching?
Did you see Xi Jinping hanging out the top of the limo with his four microphones?
And he'll get... What's
that's
that
who I
want
to be aligning with.
If
that's
he was in Queensland,
outfit.
That'd be a $900 fine for riding outside your vehicle. Are you telling me he had four microphones?
He had four microphones. He was standing out the top of his limo in the roof, open the roof and standing there. He's got four microphones. That's who I want to be aligning with, not Sleepy Joe Biden from
the
US.
What's wrong with Biden?
What's right with him?
I want to thank that fellow down under. Thank you very much, pal.
That fella down under.
We're in an alliance with them called AUKUS.
Scott Morrison. You could also refer to him as Scotty from marketing.
ScoMo would be all right.
ScoMo, as he's more commonly
known. So
what did
he call him again? What's he called him again?
Called him pal. That, you know, fellow.
I want to thank that fella down under. Thank you very much, pal.
Thank you very much, pal.
Oh, Jesus, he has forgotten his name, and that was the same day.
Got no idea.
Terrible. Trevor Long. This is where we go when we're confused about technology in the modern world. Everything for the man, EFTM.com. Hi, Trev.
Isn't that every day for you?
Sure is, mate. Can I give you an eighth? And I'm sure we've asked about it before. We were talking. Yeah. I was talking to Margot the other day about beehives or something. She's got beehives. I'm beehive curious. Next thing you know, every fifth thing on Facebook is a beehive. I also talked about those ab roller things. I've now got them coming. What? Remind us how this happens again with this. Is it Siri? I don't think I've got Siri turned on.
It's a thing called cognitive bias. It's nothing to do with technology. Those ads were always going to be there. They always have been there. You just don't notice them until they're in the front of your mind.
I like driving.
No, Trevor, I don't buy that.
Sadly, there is no proof that that Facebook or Google are actually listening to us. And in fact, if you check your phone, there's a little orange light that comes on at the top of the screen whenever the microphone's in use. So when you're on the phone or when you're recording audio, whatever.
Oh, is that what that is?
If they were listening, you know, just random times, you would notice that orange dot appear.
Isn't there a thing called open mic, or like you can turn your mic on or off so that that doesn't happen?
No, on an iPhone, you cannot disable that orange light from coming on and off when the microphone's in use. So an app, if it wanted to listen to you constantly, and if you gave it permission to listen to you constantly for that reason, it would need to show that orange light. And that's one of the reasons Apple did that, because so many people think their phones are listening to them. But in the end, these companies, Google and Facebook, know so much about you that they are able to make these assertions about the things you're going to be looking for. And by the way, also, when you're with someone, close to someone, it could well be that your Facebook has location on it. And so it knows who you're with, and therefore it might adopt some of the interests of that person as well.
So would I have Googled, I might have Googled the beehive thing. Would that how it gets, but how does it get from Google onto Facebook?
I'll give you the best example of that. You go to Kogan.com today and you look at something random. Look at an air purifier, right? Something you've never looked at before. And then just leave the website. Just go away. Just close the browser. Yep. For the next 5 days, you're going to get that air purifier, Kogan air purifier ads constantly on every website in Facebook, because Kogan knows you had an interest, and Facebook and Google were, you know, part of that website. And so that's how they advertise now. Kogan goes, hey, let's just keep sending this guy messages about air purifiers.
It's targeted advertising, yes?
Spot on. Most targeted.
They use algorithms.
Yeah, they use algorithms and tracking. That's the cookies and things you hear about and click about on the websites. That's what it is. It's tracking what we do and keeping a record of what we do so that they can show us the most relevant ads possible.
So not even a genius like you can get rid of this stuff?
No. Look, there's a lot you can do. Go incognito in your browser and stuff, but you always slip up. You always forget to do something, and then you get bombarded with the ads.
It's one of those things, that cognitive recognition you said, like when you buy a car, you then continue to see that car all the time. Right. When you're pregnant, you notice pregnant women. When you become engaged, you see engagement rings everywhere. So it's a part of that, yes, Trevor?
100%. Yeah, that plus that, you know, knowledge that the tech companies have about us gives us this thought and concept that they're watching and listening to us.
Trev, iPhone 13, while we got you.
Marto wants to know if he needs to update his iPhone 5.
No, I won't be updated. But does it give me something that I have to have? Like, is there a potato peeler in there?
No potato peeler, but for the first time I can remember, Apple announced that it has a better battery life. Normally they just say it's as good as the last one, but this time they said an hour and a half or 2.5 hours more battery, depending on the iPhone 13 you get, and a obviously new impressive camera and all that stuff. But to be honest, the battery life is probably the biggest win for most consumers.
Marto really could do with the extra battery life. All that Instagram scrolling that he does, Trevor, really...
Get him on a TikTok, that'll get him addicted.
He does actually have a proper tech question for you, and that is how to unfollow me on Instagram.
How do you do that? Because
it's impossible.
I can't...
I just want to check
my son on Instagram, and it's just dominated by
Well, we were having
Margo.
The conversation. I said, I never go on Facebook, and Marto never goes on Instagram. He said, I never go on Instagram because you're always on it, and I'm sick of looking at you.
And that's the algorithm. They know you're such great friends. Yeah. They want you to see everything that's going on.
Trev, you're the best, mate. EFTM.com if you want to know everything in the whole world.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Now, listen, if you're in the market for a boat, you'd want to listen up right now. If you've been going on boatsales.com and checking out prices, is yachting a sport, do you think?
Oh, yachting. Depends on how you say it, I guess. America's Cup. Would you say that's yachting or sailing?
Sailing. Oh, well, I want to talk yacht. Yeah, well, I want to talk
yachting.
There's a yacht for sale.
We're talking motor yachts or.
Well, I'm talking rich people pointing at people and going, you do some stuff. Go and clean
corporate yachting.
Yes, I'm talking James Packer.
Oh. What's
listen,
he got?
They're talking about the purse strings tightening in the packer camp.
Oh.
You know that? Have you ever seen his big boat? The thing's 108 metres long. It's called IJE, named after his three children. I don't know their names.
103 metres long.
108 metres long. So,
Jesus.
So from one dead ball line to the try line at the other end, that's 110 metres. So that's how long his boat is.
Wow, incredible.
22 people fit on there.
What
in
do you
11.
Do with all that space? Only 22 people on 100 metres?
Yeah, 22 people. Well, that's the guess, but there's 28 staff. So
when the staff outweigh the guests.
Yeah, that's when you know. When you it's know pretty rich. Fancy. There's a gym. There's a – why do you need a swimming pool on a boat?
Because there's sharks in the water, Mato.
Oh,
jellyfish.
Why do you need a nightclub on a boat?
Because he likes to party.
There's only 22 people. It's a shit nightclub. Anyway, why do you need a cinema? Oh, cinema's okay. Private owner's deck. Oh, it's so up the top that no one else can go.
Oh.
This is anyway, it's for sale.
Helicopter?
Yeah, there's room for helicopter. Yeah,
jet
room.
Skis?
That's how you know it's a proper boat. Yeah, jet
You'd
ski.
Have jet skis off the back, wouldn't you?
Not one or two. It's saying a fleet of jet skis
a fleet
park
of jet skis.
Underneath.
Tender boat. The tender boat would be pretty impressive,
Can't
wouldn't
see
it?
See a tender boat. Well, sure, it'd be hidden in
it's
there.
Hidden
there's
in
also,
underneath.
Oh, there's one at the front there.
Mm.
Huh, all right, how much do you reckon? How much am I getting paid for?
Would you say it's a super yacht or a mega super yacht or a mega yacht?
I don't know, what are they
mega
saying?
Yacht.
Giga yacht.
Giga yacht.
It's a giga yacht. Wow. All right, here we go. What did you? Where does it start? So you get a yacht. You got a tinny, then you get a yacht, I suppose.
No, you get like a fishing boat.
Yeah.
You know, and then you go to like a, what are those ones with the towers?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I'm not a boat person. I've owned
it's
one jet ski.
Something. Anyway.
So yacht. Mega yacht. What did you go then?
Giga yacht.
Giga yacht.
Super mega yacht.
All right, you got $280 million.
Jesus.
You can have it. They're saying that James Packer might be running out of a bit of money and he just needs to sell this little boat.
$280 million. Who's buying
$280
that?
Million. Just remind me, you bought a jet ski recently.
Well, I did and Corey did, yes.
All right, Corey bought it and you got the bits and pieces. They're 25 or so thousand.
There's something about that.
All right. Now, I'm going to call it 28 grand just to make my maths easy. If I divide 280 million divided by 28,000, I get 10,000. Therefore,
are you saying I could have 10,000 jet skis, Marto?
No, I'm saying Jamie Packer could buy and sell the whole Parkers 10,000 times over. So remember that when you're getting cocky.
Could you imagine what I could do with 10,000 jet skis?
Could you
oh my god!
What
gosh.
You could do with a giga yacht? But look at me.
I could nightclub by myself.
I'll live in Cornubia. See me giga yacht.
If I'm on the jet ski, I can jump the waves of the mega yacht.
Bring it up in the Logan River.
Let's just do it, okay?
Triple M's Big Break.
With Marto and Margo.
Margo, the Manly Seagulls playing the Roosters on Friday night in the semi-final to get the right to play for the grand final.
And now, who will they play, Rabbitohs or Melbourne?
Oh, hold on. So if Penrith the other one, they go to Melbourne, so Melbourne. Therefore they'll go to Rabbitohs.
Okay.
The winner of the Manly Roosters game will play the Rabbitohs.
Nearly there.
All right, they keep talking about it. And you think about this game, it's about two men. It's about Tedesco and Tommy Turbo, whether he can get his form back. You know, Tedesco's super. Should be talking about that. Where are games actually won, though, Margo?
On the wing?
No, are you kidding?
They score all the tries, don't they?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But, you know.
The kicker conversions.
The are middle. You taking
up
a mickey?
Front, in the middle.
Up
in
the
middle.
Front, up front.
There's lots
Hold
of
on,
places
let's
it could
go
be won.
Could erase that off the tape, the other stuff.
Okay.
Margo, where are games of rugby league won?
Oh, up the front, Marto.
Thank you.
The big forwards just busting through the line.
Exactly. Marty Tapau, you know him, the big Samoan. I love the bloke. He's got the huge dreadies.
Carnivore diet.
That's what I want to talk. Well, first I want to talk about one thing. 200 games. He's playing his 200th game. He's never won a semi-final because he came after Manly.
After the rain.
After they had a good success there under original Des. 200 games, never won a semi-final. And he's, I love how philosophical the Samoans are.
It's not a coincidence. You know, I always say everything happens for a reason.
So he's saying it was not my fault we've never won a semi.
No.
Well, it might be, Marty. Have a look at yourself. The thing that interests me, he came out a couple of months ago and I've never had a chance to talk about it, as you say. With the carnivore diet, he turns up, you know, because often they'll have brekkie at training, and he eats either steak or sausages, and
it's
then after
only
that,
animal byproducts.
Then after that,
so he's the opposite of a vegan.
Morning tea, eats steak or sausages. At lunch, eat steaks or sausages.
No fruit, no veggies, none of that other crap.
No, nothing. Have
no
a listen.
Filling.
Breakfast, I would say, would be about 750 grams of either bacon. If it's not bacon, it's a steak. 200, 250 grams of steak. And that saying goes across lunch and dinner. Steak, steak, steak. That's all I eat.
He's the greatest anti-vegan. What do you want for... No one ever asks him what he wants for lunch. And listen to what he reckons it does to him.
I've copped a couple of knocks in the last year or two, and we talk about inflammation in your joints, but this definitely helps with your brain inflammation.
Did everyone hear what I just heard? There'll be no need to go off the field for a head examination. You go to the sideline, the trainer gives you, Alfie, gives you a piece of steak.
Big old
have a chew of that. Here, I got a steak sandwich. You want some chips? No, I don't want chips. Back on the field. We fixed it. Marty Tapau, we salute you.
Breakfast. Weekdays from 5:30.
You are midway through the Catch Up podcast, Marto and Margo, but $5,000 were promised a clue to help give that away.
What is it, Margo?
Rush hour.
That's tough.
Yesterday we said he's always in a rush.
We'll have the $5,000 waiting for you tomorrow just before 8:30.
Are you going to tell us all five celebrities, not just the one we haven't unveiled? You've got to tell us all five celebrities, so be listening.
Love the morning.
The Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo. Triple M.
Tomorrow, start a school holiday.
Yeah, it certainly is, Marto. Gather around parents and teachers because I know we are all at that time of the year, at the end of the term, where we're all feeling a little bit exhausted, a little bit drained, a little bit crazy, ready for embracing the school holiday
that's
period.
That's you as a parent. We got a friend who's exhausted. A teacher. She reckons, this friend of ours goes, they know that they can only last 9 or 10 weeks each term and they get really ratty. Yeah. And they're really going ratty. Have you noticed
really
that with your
ratty.
Kids?
Well, Corey and I were having this conversation yesterday, Marto, because he is the parent that's at home in the mornings responsible for lunches and uniforms and getting them up out of bed and getting them out the door. And it's a massive task, no matter how many children you have. But he is orchestrating 4 kids every morning.
Incredible.
And he said the last 2 weeks, our youngest in particular, he has to wake them up every morning for school. Come on, guys, we've got to get ready,
they're
get
tired.
Out the door. But our River, our youngest, she's cried every morning for the last 2 weeks. She's 5. I'm tired, Dad. I don't want to go to school. I want to go on holidays. Well, she keeps asking, when are we going to Moogra, Mum? And, you know, he's exhausted.
So this would be going on in all
houses.
He's
tired of having to, you know, kind of crack the whip and say, come on, uniform, socks, shoes, be the tough guy.
Well, he'd rather have a part. That's what happens when you're a single parent. He'd like to be... you have a go, Margo.
I know.
Where's she gone?
And so yesterday he decided the kids and he needed a sleep in and a bit of a mental health day. And I said, yep, go for it. The kids, they're exhausted. It's last week of school. They don't really do a lot anyway.
I bet you they're watching movies all day
today.
And tomorrow.
So
they're cleaning up tomorrow.
They have a big party, like a farewell party. Everyone brings a little plate of food and they watch a movie.
So you reckon it's happening for all families, like people listening now?
I think all families are feeling it, Marto. It's been a massive year, you know, COVID in particular. The pandemic, lockdowns, borders. It's been a lot, you know, emotionally. People are, you know, they've had enough and the kids are feeling it, you know. And I think, you know, the community sports stopping for a few weeks there. You know, parents were kind of pulling their hair out. And kids,
are you whinging?
I'm not whinging, no. I'm just sympathising, empathising with people.
You could be from New South Wales and quite simply tomorrow is school holidays. Oh, it's just the same as,
you know,
same as what we've been
I'm
doing.
I'm not from
for
New South Wales, though, because I'm a Queenslander.
Yeah, I know.
Anastasia's been keeping us safe.
Pep up.
Corey took the kids to Movie World yesterday. Yeah. We've got those passes we bought.
Oh, the
yearly
ones
you know, your 3 passes, locals. And he took them down to Movie World. And I thought, if I'm exhausted and tired, that is the last thing I want to do is go to Movie World. And I thought, I'll ring him and I'll see what he's up to when I left here lunchtime yesterday. And I said, oh, hey, babe, do you want me to come down? You know, I'll come meet you at Movie World
give
and spend the afternoon, give you a hand.
Yeah.
He said, no, it's okay, darling. You go home and, you know.
What?
I'll bring them home. You know, we don't have to be here
long. He's like, perfect.
And I was like, yes, awesome. I don't have to do that.
Was there a lot of kids from their school there?
I'm not sure.
All these other kids doing the same thing.
I wasn't really quite aware of anything until they all walked in the door around 4 o'clock and woke me up because I went home and had a sleep.
Oh, that's
what you do when you're exhausted.
The Big Breakfast. Weekdays when you wake up on 104.5 Brisbane's Triple M.
I tell you what, rugby is back. The biggest show in town this weekend is at Suncorp Stadium, where the All Blacks again will play Argentina and the Wallabies again will play world champion South Africa. Rare opportunity. It's the only footy in town. So if you've got sense, this Saturday, get to Suncorp Stadium. Because if you remember, last weekend, What a story. 28-26, we pipped the South Africans right at
Quade
the end.
Quade Cooper kicked that goal.
And what a great story of redemption it was. Quade Cooper, a lot of people going, oh, I didn't even know he was back in Australia. There he is, player number 10. Another great story in Australian rugby, well, certainly for the Reds this year, leading the Reds to the Super Rugby Australia Championship. That's now about 4 months ago. James O'Connor, welcome back to the show, mate.
I appreciate it, guys.
James, playing the South Africans again this weekend, coming off the back of that win, that field goal by Quade Cooper. You got to go in confident, yeah?
Yeah, for sure. I think, obviously, first of all, they're the world champs, so to knock them off was pretty special. Awesome. It was, from Quade's point of view, it was just a very clinical performance. He was calm, and you can see he's put in the work, and it was really reassuring from the sidelines, that's for sure.
Hey, we don't see you guys. You're down training down the coast. You go to the games, then go back down to the, where are you, Sanctuary Cove, I think you are, aren't you?
But we're at Royal Pines at the moment, but yeah, we've been based at Sanctuary Cove for quite a while.
We can't see you, and a lot of people have asked me, what's happening with with James O'Connor? And I go, I'm not really sure. I think he's fit again. Where are you at?
I'm ready now. I'm just fit this week.
All right.
It's going to be interesting. Yeah.
A bit tough moving, dropping Quade Cooper for you, though.
It will be. I'm not going to lie, it will be. He's putting a very solid performance. I think even just the full 23, you know.
I know the teams, the 23 is not being named until later today, so you're probably not really sure, apparently, Dave Rennie. What was the key to beating the South Africans? Is it just because it's a lot easier not having to play the All Blacks?
Well, they're just a completely different beast. The All Blacks are speeding everything up. They're playing, you know, fast footy. They're in every part of the game. They're lethal, and if you switch up for 1 second, they'll score. The South Africans are very brutal at, like, the set-piece contest, and they slow the game well, and they're the biggest men in world rugby. So if you give them a sniff and give them a few penalties, they're just going to maul try against you. They're going to get their big fellas around the corner, and they've got some really quick backs. So completely different game plan. And I think this is just probably the first time we've fully stuck to it. Yeah, we look bouncy out there, but no doubt they're going to, you know, they're the world champs, have come out of quarantine. They're going to be physical this week. It's going to be, they're going to knuckle down. So I'm very excited to see. Or play. We'll see what comes.
Hey, James, can I just ask you, because it's a wonderful, we talked about Quade and you and both of you, didn't get your act together. You were brilliant on the field, but probably didn't get your adult life together until you were mid-20s, and now you're both wonderful. You're virtually statesmen of the game. Tell any parent that's listening right now that has a superstar child in any sport whatsoever, how should you run, instead of putting them in a bubble and slapping them on the back, what should you do for a superstar sports child?
Honestly, I can't tell you. Everyone's different.
According
to myself, like, we've had some great chats over the last 2 weeks about it, staying late at dinner, et cetera. And I think for us, we literally just had to learn the hard way. I think sometimes being men, you have to make those mistakes for yourself. To be honest, we just did not know. We didn't have a clue about life, and we thought we did.
Yeah, you had too much
surrounded,
fun.
Surrounded by the wrong people. So I think that's really important, James, making sure that you're surrounded by good people, good influences, like you said, a strong role.
I think the Broncos have seen it as well, Margo. I don't know if you know Margo's husband used to be captain, but the thing is there's no senior figure
that's
there.
Senior
if a team doesn't have a senior figure that's strong, you're going to struggle. Does that ring true with you guys, James?
It does, but it's saying that, like, hey, we had some great men in our team. It's just we'd come through it sort of 17, 19, and they weren't going to tell us what to do either.
Mate, keep up the good work. You are such a wonderful individual these days,
we
and good luck to Wallabies.
Thanks, Marta.
Did you tell us that you had some tickets for the Wallabies game?
Yeah, got a few tickets after the Suncorp game, so I'll let you guys do the honours.
Ring now.
It should be great.
133353 if you want to go and see the All Blacks Argentina, Wallabies against South Africa. James O'Connor, we'll see you there Saturday, mate.
Thanks, guys. I'll speak to you soon.
The Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo, waking you up weekdays on Triple M.
I guess not everybody at this hour listens at 6:30 in the morning, and yesterday we did something which was a surprise to both of us.
Well, Marto, I got a text message late last night because my sister listens later in the show, earlier in the show, but her husband listens earlier in the show.
Mitch.
And she said, oh my God, Mitch was just telling me about your disability segment, funniest thing I've heard ever.
Right. It doesn't sound funny if you just say, disability segment, hilarious. But it's
disability
sort of,
is not funny. It's kinda, what people do.
It kind of started with Dylan Alcott becoming the, hero of the world. After he'd won his thing, he was watching the men's final, sculled out of a beer, and he said, people were not laughing. Kids were cruel to me and I didn't like it, but now he's a champion. And people handle their disability. Like I was telling you about that mate of mine who's lost his eye, who always, while he's sitting there, he'll tap it with a pen. He'll tap his glass eye with a pen.
He flicks it out, puts it into a beer.
Oh. And he'll sometimes just leave it open. Apparently in meetings, leave it open. Anyway, we were talking about how funny people can be with their disabilities doing strange things.
Well, they make light of it because, you know, people can feel awkward or uncomfortable and they don't really know what to do or say, and so they make fun of it.
And we asked about disability pranks and we went, oh, I don't think anyone will ring. This is pretty bad. But, oh, my God, it was brilliant.
Me and a mate back when doing furniture removing, when you finish for the day, you're dying for a beer. We ordered two beers and we sit down and couldn't help but notice up the other end of the bar is an old bloke sitting there whittling away with his pocket knife and a little piece of wood, you know, just trimming it. And when he knew he had our attention, he just launched the knife into his leg, like stabbed himself on purpose at the top of his leg. He just freaked out and he burst into laughing. He said, yeah, he had a prosthetic leg.
Oh, Jesus.
That's magnificent. Now, we also heard from that bloke who lost all his fingers.
Four fingers. He only had a thumb.
And he used to play tricks all the time with people
stuck
he didn't
in the door.
Know. Pretend that it was... And of course, it wasn't stuck in the door. Anyway, let's give it a go. Maybe people listen after 8:30, honest.
I loved the guy who had a prosthetic hand and he used to have the hand, and when they put change in it, they'd drop the hand and it would fall to the ground.
Disability pranks, people, you know, you've got problems, so you lost a digit.
They make light of their situation.
We had a lot of teeth
falling
ones.
Teeth come out.
Teeth ones, yes. Anyway.
Dentures in
there. 1-3-3-5-3 And our best caller's got $100 to spend at CNL Tools in Banyo as well. How about that?
Nice.
All right. So, disability pranks, 1-3-3-5-3
Steve from Wynnum, good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, good, mate. Disability prank, have you got one or have you got a mate that does one?
Oh, no, we were on a trip away to a Paralympics or back from a Paralympics. I couldn't remember what it was. Okay. But we were in a plane and one of the boys was a high amputee, so... He climbed up. We got him to climb up into one of the luggage racks and shut the thing.
Stop it.
As the hostess come down, we sat down and said, hey, can you just grab me bag from out the luggage rack? She shit herself.
Steve, that's too good.
Steve, is this something that you did often?
Are you a Paralympian, Steve?
Yeah, I met you down the...
Yeah. At the Alexandria Hills Hotel. Yeah. You are such a wonderful person. Have you ever seen, did you hear, I can't remember his name, the one who told the story about the bloke stabbing his prosthetic leg?
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen some prosthetics fun and games?
We had a bloke, Mick Farrell. He used to be a footballer. He lost his leg really high and he was a heavy weightlifter, about 140 kilos.
And that's what Steve does.
His prosthesis was a big thing, so they... stuck it in the, you know, the suit rack they usually have. They hang the
coats on.
But we went to a competition in Europe, and we went and had a look at a castle.
Yes.
And he's sort of 6'2", and he's standing. He says, "Have a look at this view," and like it's a big brick wall. And I've wheeled up. Says, "Yeah, it's a good view, isn't it?" I can't stand up. I couldn't see over the top of the wall. And he's looked down. He says, "Oh, Jesus, yeah, righto."
I could imagine, Steve, that some of the guys that have no legs, do they ever use the legless? Oh, he's legless. Get him out of here.
Oh, yeah, always. Yeah, I get it all the time. You know, all the blokes at work here, we like work dues or something like that. Yeah, we've gone out the other night and you got legless. Yeah.
How's your weightlifting going, Steve? All right.
No, I'll give that away. I'm doing archery now.
Oh, you are too. That's
archery.
Right.
Archery. Incredible.
Mate, now are we okay to have run disability pranks? We should check with you. Is that all right?
Anyone with a disability, like it's. Yeah,
we're not making fun of people with disabilities. We're making light of the fact that people with disabilities make fun of themselves.
Hey, Steve, thanks for ringing, mate. Yep. I will get down to that archery down there at Belmont with you one day. Thanks, mate.
Sure, no problem.
Speak soon.
Jerry from Shayla Park. Sorry, Steve, text on the burner phone. He said, I had a math teacher at school who was missing an arm.
Oh, no.
And he had a prosthetic with a hook. He'd start every day with a different anecdote about how he lost his arm.
I bet there's a lot of shark stories. Nice. John from Zilmi, can you finish us off for disabled pranks?
There you go, Marto.
Yeah, great, mate.
Hey, John.
How are you, Margo?
Was it
first
you?
Timer?
Oh, first timer.
Oh,
welcome aboard.
Welcome.
Well, we only usually welcome you during the quiz.
But let's welcome you now as well, John.
First time. Right,
long-time
John.
Listener, first time caller, John. What have you been up to?
I had an uncle. He had a glass eye, and as you know, when you're cousins, they're your best friends. So we down there, it was in the 70s, and
there'd be four or five of us in the bathtub at once, as it was, and we'd be terrorising the younger ones, trying to make them to eat soap and everything like that, and be water going everywhere, and it'd end up in tears. So the uncle would come storming in, and he'd be pointing the finger going, righto, you buggers, I've had enough of this. And he'd flip the eye out, put it up on top of the medicine cupboard, looking straight at us, and go, listen.
He'd leave it there.
Going back out to the lounge and watch television, and I can see who's playing up, and God help you.
I've got my eye on you.
We would be mortified and wouldn't move a muscle. That'd be it, you know.
That is magnificent. Now, there's something going on here because Mick from Sandgate, we got to keep moving. John, that is wonderful. Can John win the prize?
Absolutely. CNL Tools Banyos, $100
thanks,
for you.
Mate.
Okay.
Thanks, fellas.
But listen to this, John. We've got Mick from Sandgate. He's got a mate with a glass eye. I'd love doing stuff. Have you got another one there? Scotty had a mate who...
Scott from the Grange. Dad's mate would make money at the pub his eye.
We might make it dedicate a whole segment to one-eyed people.
Are we the Triple M network with one-eyed people?
We're the unicorn. What do you call it? Uni-eyes?
Uni-eyes.
Triple M.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margot.
I tell you what, I noticed something yesterday. Queensland Parliament's sitting at the moment. They're doing that VAD, the voluntary assisted dying law.
We spoke about it with Campbell Newman yesterday on the show.
It'll get through and la-di-da, and as it should do. So my only complaint was when they were doing it. But I tell you what I noticed, the performance, and I did see some of it because it was on the news last night, the performance of our Premier.
Oh.
Quite outstanding. Like, loved up. You know the confidence that comes those early days. Do you remember?
Yeah. First love, honeymoon stage.
The honeymoon stage.
Love is blind.
When you're getting
that foggy, cloudy
you're
vision.
You're getting it constantly. You're having one in the morning, you're having one at evening, and then you're going one in the morning, you're going to Parliament.
Do you think it's
going to
soften her perhaps a little bit maybe?
It seems.
She might show some compassion.
I tell you what, she was just on fire, like some of this gear.
Starting this weekend, any Queenslander over 60 can get a Pfizer vaccine in Queensland.
Didn't she get Pfizer before?
Cheerful, didn't she?
I know, and I can't be negative about it because finally.
Finally, we're getting some supply.
Finally.
They're so happy. I'm so
breaking out into a song.
We're getting it. And I don't know what she was like as a youngster, but you know when you got a carton of beer, often you just went, I'm going to drink that bastard straight away. Well, she's like that with the Pfizer.
Let's use the lot.
Oh, let's go crazy. Get it in. So give me
your arm. You get a Pfizer. You get a Pfizer.
Give me
she's
Pfizer.
Like the Oprah of Pfizer.
I'm not waiting 2 weeks. I'm going to get one in both arms straight away. Oh, God. And here, I don't know what her family did, like, for fun, but it didn't sound that good. So I think she's in a good space now. I don't know what she used to do.
I want to see generations of families turning up to get vaccinated. Families can come out together. Like they say at the Ecker, roll up, roll up.
She's jab happy.
She has lost her mind.
Everybody get roll up, get your Pfizer here.
It was incredible.
Two for one. Should we start like with that, you know, the butchers and the guys out the front of the chemist with the now you can get your Pfizer here and you can get your AstraZeneca there and I'll give you a deal on sale. It's going fast. It's getting in.
Right. Why don't Chemist Warehouse do something with it? Anyway, she continued on and I just went, oh, my God, she has lost it. Completely overconfident because she's giddy with the success that we've had with keeping COVID
she's
out
drunk
of
Queensland. Drunk on power.
Drunk on power.
We are frequently told nowhere in the world
has got more bogans.
Except in Queensland. We are frequently told nowhere in the world
has more government red tape, bureaucratic hold-ups, interference and rules.
Except in Queensland. We are frequently told nowhere in the world
has leaders who look like characters from the Muppets.
Except in Queensland.
Thank you, Anna.
Triple M.
It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show.
Triple M.